Well, as a pastor for students and families, today is one of my favorite days in the life of our church. It truly is sacred work that we get to be a part of, to walk alongside our students as they confirm their faith, as they take this next step on their journey of faith. So I'll be reflecting briefly on the passage from Ephesians that Logan read for us this morning, speaking most directly to our students this morning, but I hope and trust that there will be a word for all of us in it. Ryan and Marcella, you should be very proud of the work that you put in the last 2 years. You've both taken these 2 years to learn and study Scripture in the broad story of Scripture, as well as in the details, in the stories and the details about our denomination, the covenant. You've invested in relationships within our group. You've been committed. You've showed up even when your schedules were busy and you had a lot of other things to do. You've stayed present for the most part, even when dinner was quickly approaching every week. And these last few weeks, you've been working on projects that help integrate your faith and these years of learning that you've put in, showing how your time in confirmation connects to your life outside of the church. Because we know that God wants us to live lives that are integrated, that our lives are not separate from our lives of faith, but they are one whole, that following Jesus involves all of ourselves. So this is really important work that you've been doing. And before saying anything else, I want you to know how thankful I am, how thankful we are as your teachers, as your pastors. We're thankful for your presence here in this church, for your willingness to learn and study, for the joy and creativity that you bring to our lives. It's an honor to know each of you and to be able to walk alongside you in this journey of faith. And as I read this passage from Ephesians this week and reflected on it, it seemed to so perfectly capture what my hope is for each of you as you take this next step. So I'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And so as you finish this journey through confirmation, these 2 years, that is actually a beginning point, I want to highlight three hopes from this passage, and these hopes are for all of us to hold on to. The first is the encouragement to know Jesus better. This has been at the center of what we've aimed to do in our confirmation journey. Our deepest hope is for you to know who Jesus is as your Lord and as your friend. And this is about more than knowing about Jesus or knowing facts about the Bible. This is about letting Scripture point you toward Christ in relationship. And this is going to look different for each one of us, for each one of you. Like any friendship, it takes time to get to know the person of Jesus, to build trust, to establish patterns in your friendship. And so I encourage you to figure out what you and Jesus like to do together. What are your best ways to talk and communicate? Is it communicating through spoken prayers out loud or through prayer journaling, through writing? Is it letting God's love wash over you through music? Is it spending time in nature and beauty? Is it creating something through art? There are so many ways for us to connect to God, and Jesus loves to meet us in whatever ways are most meaningful for us. So as you take this next step of faith, it's important to start living in those rhythms. Start filling out your friendship. A couple of months ago, I was telling another pastor friend about some patterns I was noticing in my life with Christ, about how God was showing his love and faithfulness in some repeating ways, how our conversations kind of looked the same way. And she said, "It sounds like that's kind of like your love language with God. That's kind of how you and God do things." And so my hope is that you'll find your love language with God, figure out how you connect best, how you communicate best. Get to know Jesus in a deep and personal way. And secondly, know what your hope is. Get to know the content of it, the richness of it. Know where this life with Christ is pointing. In our classes, we've talked a lot about the kingdom of God and what that means. We've looked at all the different ways that Jesus describes God's kingdom in the Gospels and how it is both now and not yet, how it's both within us and all around us, how it can start as something as small as a mustard seed and then grow big and powerful, yet still be filled with grace and humility. And so we have all these images, all these ways of envisioning what God's kingdom is like. But we know that it's also not something that we can make into whatever we want. It's not a personal or individual heaven that we can fill with all our favorite snacks and games and the people we like and all the things that make us happy. It's much bigger and more compelling than that. God's kingdom is about right relationship and healing of all people. In Revelation, it's a picture of people from every nation and language worshiping around the throne. It's about wrongs being made right and everyone being treated with dignity and humanity. It's about shalom, this word that we often talk about, that means peace and wholeness and well-being for all people and all creation. It's about God bending down to wipe away every tear from our eyes and for that love and healing to completely change us and transform us. And so our hope is that this vision of God's kingdom will be imprinted on your lives in a permanent way, that you will know it and live it and share it, because it really is good news for us and for the world. And lastly, we hope that you will know the great power that you have in Christ. Paul describes this power that we have as the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So guess what? You have resurrection power in you through Christ by the Holy Spirit's work in you. That's pretty amazing. And we know that when it comes to following Christ, power is always paired with humility. The two have to exist together. We cannot have one without the other. Philippians 2 calls us to have the same mind, the same attitude that Christ had, who though he was in the very form of God, though he had all the power in the world, did not use that power to his own advantage, but became a servant. His power was displayed in his sacrificial love, and we are to use our power in that same way. So as you come against all sorts of powers and authorities in your world, you'll have to decide how you're going to respond. How are you going to use the power that you hold? Will you use it to break down or to build up? Will you use it to control and dominate or to listen and to come alongside the people who are vulnerable around you? The world desperately needs faithful followers of Jesus who are bold enough to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly. As disciples, you have the power and the responsibility to challenge every ruler and every authority that tells a story of hate rather than one of love. The story of God's love will always be stronger and more powerful than any other story. So hold on to that. Let that be your foundation, the truth that you come back to when things are messy and chaotic around you. And to you, Marcella and Ryan, and to all our other students and kids, I want you to hear this very clearly this morning as well. You matter to the church because you are the church, not just the future of the church, you're the church of today, of right now. We need your gifts and your voices. We need to learn from you as we move forward and seek God's kingdom in our time. And so this day is not only a celebration of all that you've accomplished, but also a time for us as the church to commit to partnering with you and to taking your experiences and your voices seriously, to letting you lead us into the next season of the church, because we trust that God's Spirit is working powerfully in you and through you. And so these three hopes, knowing Christ better in relationship, knowing the hope to which you are called, and learning the power of Christ in you. We hope that these are anchors for you as you move forward into this next chapter on your journey of faith. And with Paul, we do pray that all of this would be for the sake of abundant life with Christ as your Lord and teacher and friend, and that you would experience the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thanks be to God. So we now invite all of you to stand and sing My Lighthouse together, and then we'll move into the rite of confirmation.